broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
Based on some information that she heard about.
Whoa, man. Start that all over again there. Start that all over again, bud, because that ain't going to work. Okay, go.
Alluding to when you walked onto the VMAs and grabbed the mic from Taylor Swift.
It was based on some information that she heard about the student's complaint.
Black women are against the black man because they've been exploited so
much. The United States has always considered waterboarding torture, except
during
the book.
I hate sex toys. So you're against waterboarding then? All right. Rick, are you against waterboarding?
I hate sex toys.
All right. World famous Phil Hendry show here every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast. A news talk and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about, where truth is our bitch, where we take you through the looking glass and beyond. And we frankly take you places where their talk shows wish they could. Pine for the days that they could, but they can't. Go to our website, philhendryshow.com, and get a live streaming video and listen to live streaming audio of our show right now. You can watch as well as listen. You can go to our archives and listen to hundreds of thousands of minutes. I was going to say hours. It's ridiculous. But thousands of hours of archive material. We also have our daily podcasts. We have our daily video cast on demand and so much more. Check it out, man, on our classic Phil as well. philhendryshow.com. A video of a racist tirade against a postal worker has caused a huge uproar. Is it real? More college students get sick of Four Loko. Is it time for a national ban, or do we just have a bunch of lightweight college students?
Ah!
And Sarah Palin's reality show makes its debut this weekend. Will you be watching?
Sure.
Just this weekend, at least. Clara Bingham and Bob Green join us, 877-876-PHIL. Our affiliate spotlight tonight, KRCN 1060 AM in the great city of Denver, and in Wausau, Wisconsin, WXCO 1230 AM. Two stations on the Phil Hendry Network that get it. PhilHendryShow.com, of course, is our website. Now, we have, as I mentioned, Robert Green joining us later on to talk about a veteran scam that was going on over the Veterans Day holiday. And it certainly is very, very... It's just disappointing, and we're going to talk with Robert about that next hour. I want to bring on Clara Bingham. She is a middle school teacher at North Bell Middle School. She does teach at Joyful Union Congregation, which is a private Christian middle school, but does much of her work as a volunteer, as well as a teacher's assistant, as well as a teacher at North Bell. And Clara, we thank you for joining us because we want to talk about Harry Potter. Have you had it up to here with Harry Potter?
Oh, no, I have a good time talking about all of the things that children are interested in, of course.
All right, well, Harry Potter, you know, the movie was out the other night.
Yes, I understand. And I saw that you had interviewed, you did not interview Daniel Radcliffe?
No. We didn't interview Daniel Radcliffe. We interviewed a man who, Doug Danger, who is a writer who had... was covering that event, or at least that film. But the Harry Potter, the film is Harry Potter and the Deadly Hallows, and as a teacher, Ms. Bingham, like other teachers, you're constantly aware of and in communication with the culture that young people are immersed in, the things that they like, and I guess Harry Potter's no different, huh?
That is correct. We are always trying to maintain a relationship not only with our students, but with their parents, and the interest that our students, as well as their parents, have. So you have a more well-rounded relationship with your student, of course. But it is not unlike, I think, what the relationship would be of any parent with a child, where you want to make sure you know what that child is interested in beyond his or her schoolwork, whether it is athletics.
Because it's all part of protecting and directing that child.
It's part of what we call in education the constant building of a human being. Children are not unlike works of art. They are a work in progress, and you are always correcting course and observing it.
What has been your, because I want to get into, Ms. Bingham, the story here of Harry Potter, Harry Potter Wonderland Library hosts special event open to wizards and muggles. Now, this is a, This is a display of some kind. Is that right?
The Harry Potter Wonderland display you're talking about?
Yeah.
That was something that the one of the teacher organizations, as well as our particular school board, requested that we set up in our library for the children to look at and to interact with. It's an event. The volunteers have been working to that. What they do is transform the library into a sort of Hogwarts school of witchcraft and wizardry. They have, I guess, other activities, including charades, dueling wizards, and this kind of thing. And it's very, I suppose, for the children.
Well, I should say you're not in favor of this, are you?
No, I am not. And I think that there are other teachers who are not. And let me just give you my background, Phil. I'm a middle school teacher at a Christian school, so I am probably the last person you're going to hear make a statement on behalf of the separation of church and state. I personally think we need more religion in our schools. But I would argue the separation of church and state here, because this is a religion that is more and more being embraced by our young people. It is more and more being embraced not only by young people, but by the mothers of these children. And when you have an adult foundation, I guess, it gives a legitimacy to something like this. And we're very concerned. As I said, they have charades competitions, how to make potions in the Great Hall. There's going to be fortune-telling. We learn as Christians that this is essentially witchcraft. We also know from our investigations into such individuals as David Berkowitz and others, Richard Ramirez, that this has a hand in black magic. So the separation of church and state is our first and foremost argument. But we also are trying to protect our children and, to an extent, society by saying, if you continue to expose our children to this, they will eventually succumb, if you will, or become believers in this and attempt to act out. And that can have repercussions for society at large as individuals attempt to transform their religion into a black magic.
We're talking to Clara Bingham, a educator, teacher at North Bell Middle School in Bell, California. And we're discussing the Harry Potter, actually a display, or it's a library event or display, that right now is in Clarksville, Tennessee, but I guess it's at other schools. And it is a Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows celebration. And in the school libraries, is that right, Ms. Bingham?
Yes.
They have set up different Harry Potter displays. Now, this is a very, very successful film, and it's a very, very successful franchise of films. And we've heard the argument over and over again that this is just fun. There is no one getting hurt. It's not proselytizing. It's not trying to indoctrinate. It's just a movie. What do you say to that?
Well, it's just a movie. That's very interesting, because it isn't just a movie. It is very much a recruiting tool. And here is why I say it's a recruiting tool. It isn't just one movie. It isn't just two movies. It's more than three or four or five movies. I don't know how many of these films have come out. But it is a very, very, it's a very, very pricey and involved set of films that seeks to excite the young imagination. And in so doing, to indoctrinate that young person into...
Now, what is the benefit of the people that produce this film to indoctrinate children into witchcraft?
Well, the reason for any religion is to control politically the society that religion comes up in. There is a lot of competition, obviously, for an individual's faith. And Christianity has the foremost amount of followers. Judaism, the individuals that are disenfranchised from Christianity, people that have found themselves put off by Christianity because they were they're very morally loose people, or they're manipulative people, or they're people that like to take advantage of others. And so Christianity doesn't allow that. Well, witchcraft does, and the black magic do. So with these 8 Harry Potter movies, they are saying, here is how you can be a part of controlling society. And they're saying that to our children. And
All right. Clara Bingham joining us, 877-876-PHIL. All right, so they're going to control society, the children are.
Even if it was a very innocent thing, the children are excited by it. They investigate Wicca. They investigate black magic. And as they investigate, they learn these different potions, and they learn these different spells. Now, the public school allowing Harry Potter event is a very clear endorsement of the religion of Wicca. And I don't want to get fancy and have a big argument about, whether Wiccan is good for society or not. That's against the separation of church and state.
Now, you mentioned bullying. What does this have to do with bullying?
Thank you, Phil. Bullying is a problem. And if we have bullies that also have the ability to practice this religion, whether it is black magic, Wiccan, or what have you, they can scare another child in much the same way that someone who knows voodoo can scare another person into, we have heard stories of an individual swallowing their own tongue because they were frightened by the voodoo. Now, if you have a bully in a school and he bully a child to the point where that child is going to swallow his tongue or is going to stab himself or is going to jump in front of a car.
And but I want to be clear. You don't believe that black magic is at work here. You think it is what voodoo does.
I believe that it is the exact same effect as voodoo, yes. It is a control of the individual by using that fear. That's what black magic is. And that's what the Harry Potter movies promote. And the best way to get it out of our schools is to say separation of church and state.
Because what you're saying here, when you talk about black magic being like voodoo, where the practitioner can put so much fear into a kid, the kid does something to hurt himself or other people, that's not going to move people.
I don't think so, because I don't think people really take that seriously. So you have to attack it from the standpoint of a separation of the church and the state. Why do I have a Harry Potter in my public library when I'm not allowed to put on display Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who I believe in as my Savior, and who a display of Jesus Christ, I think, would do a world of good for young people. But instead, they had on Harry Potter, and they have on that a Hogwarts and all this.
All right, 877-876-PHIL, Clara Bingham there from North Bell. Yeah, she's the North Bell Middle School. Okay. Now, the Harry Potter films, I know, deal with and delve into whatever some person's idea is of black magic. I have no idea. I don't know what real black magic is. But according to Ms. Bingham, she has sent the warning out to the school board there, as well as to parents, that it is an approximation of black magic, as well as voodoo and witchcraft, and therefore constitutes a religion. And by putting this Harry Potter display in the school library, it is a violation of the separation of church and state, not to mention the fact that with school bullying, as serious as it is, you don't want bullies out there practicing some kind of a black magic voodoo fear on other children. 877-876-PHIL is the number, 877-876-PHIL. We'll be back with more from Clara Bingham. I want to investigate this whole this tie-in between bullying and black magic when we come back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry.
Let's quit screwing around with a call on 7 and get it up there or get rid of it.
Phil Hendry Show.
877-876-PHIL. Harry Potter Wonderland Public Library hosts special event open to wizards and muggles And this is happening at some schools in Southern California as well. One of them is North Bell Middle School in Bell, California. And with me is Clara Bingham, who is a middle school teacher there. She's teaching both as a substitute teacher and at times as full-time over there, although I know you're mostly at Joyful Union Congregation, which is a religious school. But you're claiming a separation of church and state at North Bell Middle School because you don't want to see Wicca at that school.
Oh, I think that it is a destructive force. I know that there are people who probably think that Wicca is a perfectly acceptable religion, but I do not, especially when you put it into the hands of a bully. And that's the part that I wanted to talk about. Bullying another child, we've already seen what that does. It causes children to kill themselves.
I'd like to avoid any. I don't want to argue, and I respect you, Ms. Bingham, but I want to avoid any conclusion as to quote what bullying causes. I'm sorry. I don't buy that bullying causes suicide. I think mental illness causes suicide.
Well, you could very well be right, Phil. I agree, but when a bully goes after a child, and that bully has acquired these skills that have been glamorized on Harry Potter, that a bully acquired the skill that he's seen these Hogwarts and all of them doing, then the bully becomes very proud of himself. And one other thing that I think needs to be said, Wicca is a religion still that is embraced primarily by women. So we have found that the children that come to school that are bullied, and want to put a black magic on a child, like you saw Harry Potter do, he has a mother at home that's fooling around with his Wicca.
It's being encouraged by a mother? You're saying the bullying?
No, I'm not saying the bullying.
Well, then what are you saying? She's saying she's not aware?
She is not aware that her child is taking that religion, that she's practicing outdoors at night with her friends in the backyard. She's not aware that her child is taking that to school and is bullying another child with a black Wicca and the magic and everything.
All right, 877-876-PHIL is the number here on the Phil Hendry Show. Let's go to Elizabeth, New Jersey. Go ahead, Sylvan, you're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Okay, I believe this woman got too much time on her hands, okay? This is fantasy. So different than Mother Goose, the Brothers Grimm, it's Hans Christian Andersen, and everything else that's written through the ages. If you take this further than what it is, then there's something wrong with you, not wrong with the person that writes. Okay, I don't know how you equate it with witchcraft and indoctrination
because
of kids
exactly
into evil.
If you have seen it, if you've watched it, you know what it is. It's obviously
no.
Witchcraft.
No. It's fantasy, lady. And you know the thing about it is, you claim to be a Christian, but then
yes.
Are you a cannibal? Okay, because
no,
you practice a ritual. Christians practice a ritual called eating the body of Christ. That doesn't make them a cannibal, does it?
No, that's Catholic. I don't do that. Catholics do that.
Okay. Well, hold it. You they set a host called this is the body of Christ. Okay. It says
I don't do that mess. No, the Catholic want to do that mess. I don't do that. I'm telling you.
That doesn't make them cannibals, does it?
I don't know. I'm not a Catholic.
Okay.
I'm not going to pass judgment on that. But I will see.
You got to separate fantasy from reality. Okay.
Well, a lot of people think that Jesus dying on the cross was fantasy. A lot of people think that a lot of things are fantasy.
Some people believe that. Some people believe that, but you claim to be a Christian. And you claim
to believe
exactly right. That the Christian religion is superior to other religions, okay?
I'm saying
that
the Christian religion is superior.
Have good and bad,
but if you've got a child that is a bully that is using black magic on another child.
Bullying, you know,
you
when, we
have
kids,
a bully.
When we were kids, there was a bully, you either knuckle up and deal with the bully or not. How is it so suddenly now, this person is practicing witchcraft, and now they're bullying.
I'm just saying, if at my school, I have seen it. We have seen the Harry Potter display. I've seen some of these children that go home, their mother is Wiccan. They come back to school, and they're trying to bully a child, and
they're
trying to bully a child with a magic wand or some kind of pointed hat.
What do you mean a pointed hat?
You know, that's a very fancy way of just calling me a name, calling me crazy. That's what your argument is, and that's no good. That's no good.
I think you took it to the 10th level.
You go to school as a bully with a pointed hat. And you come home with a pointed head.
All right, 877-876-PHIL. Harry Potter, does it teach children black magic, and are bullies learning black magic? Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry.
877-876-PHIL.
This is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
877-876-PHIL. Harry Potter, the movie The Deadly Hallows. You know, we were talking about Harry Potter. You mentioned Clara on the show last night because the rumor was that this kid, Daniel Radcliffe, had exposed himself to the crowd because he was tired.
Was there any justification?
No, there was no. That never happened. There was no confirmation of that. But what we did learn from our reporter was that, and Daniel Radcliffe said it himself, he's really tired of doing these movies. Now, you just heard this man say that this is fantasy and that we shouldn't worry about this. And I've heard this down through the years. It's fantasy and we shouldn't worry about it. And that people such as yourself, Ms. Bingham, with all due respect as a Christian, you just don't get it. And you are personally trying to control the politics of a school district. What do you say to that?
Well, I don't understand. How do they think I am trying to control the politics of...
By asserting yourself over something as trivial as a movie, as trivial as a child's movie, that is about fantasy land, is about Hogwarts, this, that, whatever the hell it's about, by asserting yourself in that way, you are essentially trying to control a situation that nobody seems to think needs controlling.
Well, Mr. Henry, I have seen with my own eyes as a Christian what the devil can do. And the devil can work his way into the heart and mind of any human being, especially our young people, in a very, very sly and slick way. As a teacher, I have to be aware of that. And when I see this Harry Potter paraphernalia enter my school, when I see a celebration of this, these rituals that this man said was fantasy, well, it may be fantasy, but I've seen with my own eyes.
What have you seen with your own eyes? Have you seen somebody bully a kid? You mentioned kids.
Yes, I have.
You mentioned kids that have seen Harry Potter and became proficient in black magic?
I don't know, Mr. Henry, if they become proficient. I know that these are children whose mothers are involved in Wicca after they've seen Harry Potter. They go home, and they see their mother practice this Wicca or this black magic, and they come back to the school, and they do this black magic.
Now, well, what are they doing? How are they doing black magic? Tell me about it.
Well, for one thing, I saw a very... This, to me, was black magic. This girl, who I think is a wonderful girl, her name is Sarah. She's in my math class for my sixth graders. But she is not what you would call a bathing beauty. She's a heavy-set girl. She's got pimples and everything that affects the adolescent child. She's a sweet girl, but she is what the boys say is, the little boys call her a beast, and I think it's very cruel. But one day, and a Harry Potter come out, this girl come to school with a boy on her arm, carrying her book, and I recognized this boy. His name was Chris Blankenship. He was one of our seventh graders. He's carrying this little fat girl's book. They are sitting together at lunch. And I knew that this child had gone on to Harry Potter.
And what, the little girl?
Yes, this little girl.
What was her name?
I'm sorry, Mr. Henry. I can't mention her name because...
Well, you mentioned the name of the kid.
The boy?
Yeah.
Well, it's necessary to mention his name because I have to use him as an example of, as I say to the other children, look at what this, and I said to the kids, and I say this with love in my heart still, but I said, look at this sucker. Here this boy, very good-looking Mexican boy, his father white, his mother from Trinidad, carrying the books of that little white girl. Now,
did you find that to be, in your mind, an example of black magic?
I don't know, but I have to, as a Christian who's on guard against the devil, I have to look at anything that is completely unlikely, anything that is almost too fantastic to believe. And if it has anything to do with black magic, I have to say yes.
So I want to be clear here, Clara. This girl, this child, whose name you don't want to give us, she's a fat little girl.
She's very fat. She got the pimple all over her face. And I have to tell you, the poor girl has braces, so her breath is very rancid. Why would a young man at an age of 12 or 13 want to carry the books that fat child? In my opinion, because of what that child came home with. She went to her home, her mother in the Wicca. She come home having looked up and learned all about the Harry Potter.
All right, 877-876-PHIL. To your way of thinking, that's black magic. I mean,
You don't see that.
Of course I don't see that. No, ma'am, I don't see that. No, not at all. What I see, quite frankly, as a child who made friends with this boy who may not be an individual all that enamored of people's looks. Maybe there's something about them that they became friends. 877, well, I should only hope children everywhere are that blind to appearances. 877-876-PHIL. Amanda in Massachusetts. Go ahead. You're on the Phil Hendry Show with Clara Bingham.
I would agree with that, Phil.
Thank you. Yes, Amanda.
Hi. I just don't understand how this woman thinks that a fantasy world it can be conceived as reality. You get to Hogwarts by a train. You pass through a wall. And this is children we're talking about. That children have imagination.
You see how you know all about it, though? You see how you know all about it?
I'm a mom, and I absolutely love Harry Potter. The woman who wrote it was a completely sane, brilliant, intelligent woman, homeless, living in her car, that just imagined this fantasy place where, you know, she could go and have all of her problems solved, and and essentially, the whole Harry Potter story is good over evil. Harry Potter always wins. He will always overcome Voldemort. And it's all about your friends, your family, good versus good always.
But there is evil. But there is evil. But there is evil there. And the other thing that you have to understand is you said this woman is completely sane, yet she was living in her car. Hello. Hello. Okay. That woman is it. She has a screw loose.
Well, hold on for a minute. I mean, Amanda, you know the story of J.K. Rowling, right?
I love Harry Potter. I've seen every movie.
Was Ms. Rowling? Why was Ms. Rowling living in her car? She was homeless, correct?
No, she was homeless. You know, not by her own choice, obviously, but you know,
of course
she
not.
Just
no. What do you mean not by her own choice? This is a woman with a screw loose.
Can we stop with the screw loose?
Young lady, a woman living alone in her car, imagining a man flying through a wall named Harry Potter. This is a woman got a screw loose. She is as goofy as a March hare.
Well, one could say that you have a screw loose, thinking that anyone who could think that Harry Potter is a real and can be used as black magic or, you know, and for another point, Wiccan has nothing to do with any part of the conversation whatsoever.
Are you Wiccan?
I am a Roman Catholic. I am a God-fearing.
That's a whole other ballgame, too. All a Catholic, but
Well, we're not going to get into Catholic bashing, because I am too, okay? We're going to talk about Christianity and Wicca. That's fine. Now, Amanda here has said that, J.K. Rowling, you want to indict J.K. Rowling because she lived in her car. But I want to get back to this thing about this little girl that you saw at school practicing. Does she have a mother that's into Wiccan?
Yes, this child has a mother into Wiccan. This child has been to see all of Harry Potter, because I asked her. I said, did you see Harry Potter? She said, oh, yes, I did, Miss Bingham.
Yeah, if you sat and read anything about the Wiccan religion, it's everything to do with nature and everything around you, loving everything. It's the black side. I could rattle off 100 Harry Potter spells to you right now, and it's not going to do anything to you. It's not real. It's imagination. It has nothing to do with any religion. It has nothing to do with it's fantasy. It's made up. It's a story. It's a place you get to walking through a wall and being on an imaginary train. You are insane.
The fact that you know how to do that. The fact that you know how to do that frightens me. And
she didn't say she knows how to do it.
She's telling me about getting on a train and going through a wall. Is that correct?
She says that's in the movie. Yeah.
Well, the fact that this little fat girl comes to school with this young Trinidad Caucasian boy. Now, how's that happen? I'll tell you how it happened.
I feel sorry for this little girl.
Black magic.
The way that she feels the need to play out a fantasy where she thinks that a Harry Potter spell is going to solve all her problems, and it's not.
It worked, though. She got a good-looking boy to carry her books. That's what I'm saying.
So you're saying that because she made friends with a really handsome boy at school, that's black magic?
This child has got a big fat gut on her and pimple on the nose, everything. Yeah, well, I'm saying it was black magic.
She is a kid. What else would get a boy to want to walk down the street with a fat girl?
All right, look at. Thank you very much, Amanda, for your call, and Ms. Bingham, 877-876-PHIL. It's a very fascinating conversation, but nonetheless, I don't think, and I believe that Amanda and other callers have made the point, I don't think that we're any closer to determining that Harry Potter is teaching kids black magic, or that if we have a problem with bullying, we're going to have bullies coming to school having learned black magic from their Wiccan mothers. More of your calls coming up. Our number, 877-876-PHIL. And I think the question here in our next quarter hour before we say goodbye to Ms. Bingham is, why can't that little girl that she saw at school, why can't she just make a friend? Why does it have to be that that girl practiced black magic in order to get a boy to carry her books? 877-876-PHIL, world famous Phil Henry Show.
It's the Phil Henry Show.
Known Harry Potter for years. I'm trying to say this.
Okay, I understand it.
Phil Henry.
But we are going to, I'll take it down. I can't have it.
Well, the display is still up. Clara Bingham at North Bell Middle School, the Harry Potter display is still up at the school.
That is correct.
And you have had words with the school saying that you don't want that...
I'm a teacher, so I'm not trying to throw my weight around. I'm not trying to say that I am the principal. I'm not the principal. I'm not a member of the... I'm not a parent. My children, when they were going to school, went to private Christian school. But I will tell you this. I think that Harry Potter has given these children idea about Wicca and all of that. And I think that the mothers of these children are to blame because, you know, they love a lot of these mothers, especially, and I don't mean, this is very difficult to say, but a lot of these white women.
Why white women?
White women, I think, feel that their power has left them over the last few decades. They had some power at one time over, maybe they had a Mexican maid, you know, or a colored woman. Now they have no power over that. So the white women, they do Wicca.
And you don't feel like that's a very racist statement, huh?
I don't think it's racist because I don't think that it's endemic to all of the whites, but some. But we had a child, Phil, that had the personality. She was a dull child. She was a slow child. She had no personality at all that anyone could determine. And when we had our magazine drive, that child came back and won the magazine drive. She had sold all of the magazine, Penthouse and Playboy, which we don't like the children to sell, but they do sell them, and we tell the children, just tell them we have Penthouse, we have Playboy. The men in the house will probably want to buy that, and then they go to True Detective or Soldier of Fortune. This child came back, and she had sold everything.
And you think that that's black magic because the child ordinarily has no personality?
None that I can see, and you have to have some kind of personality to sell all these magazines. You must. And this child is as dull and as just there's nothing happening there with that baby. I love her. I love her very much. She's a wonderful girl, but she's got nothing to say to nobody. Poor baby got no one. And yet she can sell a, excuse my language, she'll sell the hell out of that Penthouse, that Playboy, all of these magazines on a magazine drive.
I got to tell you something. Having these kids selling Penthouse, these kids with these magazine drives, I don't like them at all.
Yeah, they raise a lot of money.
I don't care. I don't like them at all. I don't like them, and I'll never like them. I don't like seeing kids walking around in the heat of the summertime when they ought to be at the beach or they ought to be in a park, and they're sent out, and these are 8, 9, 10-year-old kids, and they're sent out to sell magazines, and one day a week they get to go down to the beach. I don't like it. Here is Tony. Go ahead, Tony. You're on the Phil Henry Show with Clara Bingham.
Yes, I was just calling to ask Ms. Bingham, are you serious with this? Is this a joke? Are you this narrow-minded?
About what, dear? I'm talking about children in a school, in a middle school.
Well, I understand, and I'll tell you what I saw one time. One time I saw Bugs Bunny stick his finger in the air in the barrel of a gun, and the gun blew up on the man pulling the trigger. Now, is that the devil? Is Warner Brothers the devil?
You know, I heard something one time about a man that walked on water. Isn't that stupid? It turned out that was Jesus.
That is not stupid.
Did you laugh at that? Did you laugh at that? Did you think that was
stupid? We're talking about the difference between
so when you're talking about religion and what a man or what a man believes or what a child believes, you cannot. If they believe it, they believe it. And if someone takes black magic and they believe in that black magic, you're going to have a child that's about as dull as paint drying, selling, what did this child sell? Fishing magazine, Soldier of Fortune, and Swank.
Okay, are you seriously?
Why are you selling? Why the hell are you selling Swank magazine? Why are these children selling that?
Because that's part of the magazines they're given.
Man,
are you seriously comparing the Bible to a children's book?
You're not hearing me. You're not hearing me. You're not hearing me. You're typical of a lot of people. Don't want to listen. It doesn't make any difference whether I do or not. If some people do, then some people do. And if they do, that means they believe it. But if you are not intelligent enough, if you're not intelligent enough to understand what I'm saying, then you have to take another run at it. But it doesn't matter what I believe. If somebody believes that Harry Potter is black magic and they can practice that black magic, and a dumb little girl like this sells Swank magazine, or a fat girl has a boy, take her book home from school, then that's black magic.
No, no, no. This man is asking, do you believe that black magic exists?
I think if a young girl thinks black magic exists and she gets some mixed-race boy to carry her books...
She gets some mixed-race...
A fat white girl.
All right. All right, Chris, or Tony, rather.
Yes.
Thank you for your call. 877-876-PHIL. So the mixed-race... fat girl.
No. It ain't no mixed race fat girl. It was a mixed race boy, and it was a fat white girl. Okay?
All right.
But I'm sorry, it was a dull white girl, too. So the two girls are the ones that practice the black magic. One was a fat white girl, the other was a dull one. But the dull, the dull one.
Look, first of all, how difficult is it for anybody to sell Swank, Penthouse, and Playboy?
I don't know. I've never tried it.
Well, you're trying to tell me that some dull little girl, because she was able to go out and sell magazine subscriptions, some of which were to Penthouse, Swank, and Playboy, this child must have been practicing black magic, because that's just amazing that the child has no personality.
But she sold also a subscription to Soldier of Fortune, True Detective. Nobody read that stuff anymore. Then you have the fat white girl. All right, now let's move on to that subject. This girl has got breasts that would knock a buzzard off the back of a garbage scow. And yet, the child had a good-looking mixed-race boy carry her books home, carry her books to school, sit with her, get her chocolate milk, run off, get her a donut. I mean, I swear, I had not seen anything like this since I was very, very young. And I say this with great remorse, but I was young, and I was in a women's colony there in South Carolina, and the girls used to say, go and get me a cigarette. Or they make you run errands, you know, if you're new on a yard. So I said, boy, look at that. It reminds me of the women's colony in South Carolina. She's saying, I almost have heard her say, hey, bitch, go get me.
You know? All right, well, thank you very much.
Is that it? Because
no, that's it. Thank you. Bob Green next, 877-876-PHIL. She said, bitch, go get me. We'll be back. World famous Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry.
I thought I heard that.
Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
I know a lot of people are into it.
It's like 2 to 3, and then they're just black.
As you know, I've done a number of shows with pedophiles over the years.
I'm supposed to be free in this country, and I should be able to fly the flag wherever I want.
Say, baby, put down that pipe and get my pipe up.
Famous Phil Henry Show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast. A news talk and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. Have we got a big announcement for you on Monday? Big announcement for you on Monday. It's a big announcement for my listeners in Los Angeles, but it is a big announcement for everybody who watches our videocast on philhenryshow.com or listens to the live streaming audio on the videocast at philhenryshow.com or gets the podcast. It's a great... frankly, it's more content. It's more of me. So, whether that's good or bad, it's good for me because it's like, it's more bread. Anyway, it's a recession. So 877-876-PHIL. So that will be on Monday and an announcement next week having to do as well with our legacy CDs. We're really excited to make available to people who have not heard our show before or were even aware that we existed, that we have some 10 years worth of best of CDs. And these have the original artwork. They're all in the packaging. They are pristine, virgin versions of our best of 1997, 98. Oddly enough, 99 is sold out. Now, I don't know if that was because the century was coming to an end. I don't know. I can't find a best of Phil Henry Show 1999 for love or money. Nonetheless, next week we'll have some more details on selling those and making those available to you. Veterans groups are putting out warnings against charity scams after the phony U.S. Navy Veterans Association stole millions of dollars. Bob Green joins us this hour to discuss that. 877-876-PHIL and online at philhenryshow.com. Robert Green is with Fraser Foods, the CEO there, and has been responsible over the years for collecting a lot of money in charitable donations. Bob is with us and often is with us to talk on matters pertaining to business. And matters pertaining to business oftentimes have to do with charity, don't they, Bob?
Well, I think so, Phil. You cannot be a part of a community, as we have very proudly been a part of the Southern California community. We're in Buena Park, California. Without doing a business with these charity groups. I think it's a black day for this organization, whoever these people are, that the United States, the so-called U.S. Navy Association, stole money from people and
Fortunately, though, we collected money on behalf of this organization. I know other businesses did the same thing.
So you did you have a... How did you do that, Bob?
We had a donation cup at our checkout stand. We also had a large donation donation chest at the door as people were entering. We had brochures that they gave us. And we really felt that they were a legitimate organization. And when I found out that this was an organization, Phil, that not only did not exist, but was, in point of fact, taking advantage of our veterans, I don't think there's anything lower than that. And I stand against it with every other person in this country when this news came out.
Let me tell people about this group, this, it may be criminal group. Veterans groups are warning the public to distinguish between their legitimate efforts to support returning American troops and the questionable motives of a rogue group called the U.S. Navy Veterans Association, which is being investigated in at least 9 states on allegations of fraud and deception. The group and its fugitive leader, who went by the name Bobby Thompson and is the subject of a nationwide manhunt, was described by Attorney General Richard Cordray as doing in the charitable sphere what Bernie Madoff did in the investigative sphere. And you say that you were raising money for this organization, Bob. Did you have, obviously, some contacts, some routing number?
That's it, Phil. There was a routing number that we gave to the organization, and they then would take this money, and that would be the last we saw of it. Fortunately, though, we heard of this this investigation by the Attorney General there, and we were able to put a freeze on the funds that we had in this account that we had earmarked for this organization.
And how much was it, if you don't mind me asking?
All told, I think it was probably a couple of $100,000.
Wow.
Very significant amount of money.
So it says here this guy collected as much as $100 million over the past decade. How long were you associated with this guy?
We were associated with him for a period of time, but I don't want to get into these different questions because we want to keep the focus where it belongs, Phil, on the veterans. And when we talk about me or we talk about Bobby Thompson, and I think it's pretty ironic that he used the name Bobby Thompson because Bobby Thompson, Phil, is also the name of a New York Giant baseball player who hit the shot heard around the world, if you know that.
Oh, yeah, Bobby Thompson, the home run.
In 1951, yeah. And I said to my my girlfriend, soon to be my wife, Sally, I said, you know, this guy, this Bobby Thompson from the U.S. Navy organization, he sounds like a guy who's fired a shot heard around the world as well, and it's going to go all the way around the world and come right back and hit him between the eyes, is what I said. So it's no question at all, Phil, that our veterans were taken advantage of. But the good news is this. We're taking that money that we have in this account that is frozen. We are going to put together special baskets that people can purchase and can send to veterans in Iraq or Afghanistan. That would be our serving troops, not necessarily technically veterans because they're still in service, but I suppose you could say they are veterans, Phil.
Well, I imagine the minute you set foot on that kind of hostile ground, you're a veteran. But I understand what you're saying. These are for our actively serving troops.
That is correct. And the people can put into these baskets anything they want, but we have these pre-made. I'm going to have these pre-made, and they'll have in them everything that these soldiers have talked about needing. All of the things that the soldiers will write home about. I've got a list of it, but I'm not exactly sure. Can you give me the list of that? There's a list, Phil, that the Veterans Associations, the Iraq and Afghanistan Veterans Associations, put together a list of what the soldiers would like. And
all right, well, we have some of like protein bars, Q-tips, socks, cans of tuna. These are just things you can well imagine a soldier, well, I'd like something to eat so he can bust open a can of tuna.
We have that same list, yeah. Men's health magazines.
What do you mean men's health magazines?
Yeah, they want men's health magazines. That doesn't necessarily mean they're looking at the bodybuilders.
No, I know that. I didn't see that. Men's health magazines. But what other kind of magazines? All right, well, that's the list we have.
Well, I mean, they're soldiers, so you have to assume that they want what any soldier is going to want, and that is if they're, I say this with all due respect, if they're straight, they're going to want to have pictures of a, you know, of a lady, and so the Sports Illustrated, what do they call that?
Swimsuit issue.
Yeah, the swimsuit issue. We get that for them. And people can buy these baskets, and they can send them off to our troops in Iraq and in Afghanistan. And we're very happy to do that with the donated money to help our young men and women, because they're the best, Bill. I agree with you. They're the best we got.
All right. I just want to ask you a question, Bob, and I appreciate you coming on the program. You got about $100,000?
$200,000.
$200,000 from this scam. Obviously, you can't give the money back because you don't know who the people are. What, you're putting together these baskets that people buy?
That is correct, yes.
Are they costing you?
Yes, they are. Yes, they are costing me. That's why we need that $200,000, because that's what I, that's the money that I need to make these baskets for the soldiers. So I buy the Sports Illustrated and the cans of tuna.
You buy that from yourself?
I buy it from myself, yes. And then I send the basket. So I buy the tuna from myself.
At the price that you sell it to everybody else?
No, not at all. I discount it. And by discounting it, that means that I'm not giving myself as much money as a regular person would give me. Here's something I want to say, Bill, before we...
See, I'm not trying to... I'm just curious how it works.
Yeah, let me just say this, Bill. We're spending way too much time talking about me when we ought to be talking about the soldiers, the veterans, and the great things they do. Explaining why, you know, how much it costs me. You focus on cost. I focus on the troops. See? That's what I do.
No, I understand that, Bob, and I appreciate that. I was just wondering. I mean, you've got $200,000 in the bank, and you're using that $200,000 from the U.S. Navy Veterans Association, which is a scam organization, so you're not turning that money over to them.
That is absolutely correct.
All right, so you've got that money, and you're going to use it to purchase from your own store items to put into these baskets. And I suppose it's... you know what? You're doing a good thing.
You are trying to say that, well, I am making money. I'm paying myself a profit. And I'm saying, you know what? That's a lot of fancy, clever thinking that I don't think the American people need right now. I don't think they want to be confused by that. I don't think they want to give themselves a headache worrying about whether Bob Green made a couple of bucks off a lousy can of tuna that he sold to himself. So that we can put these baskets together and send them off to Afghanistan and to Iran, or Iraq rather, and help our troops help the troops.
All right, 877-876-PHIL, world famous Phil Hendry Show. Robert Green on the line with us. If he buys, all I want to know is this: he has money from this scam charity. He's not going to give the money to the charity, so he's using that money to buy stuff for the troops. He's buying the stuff from his own store. You see what I'm saying? He's buying stuff from his own store, so he's making a profit on money that was raised independently of him. I guess I'm asking too many questions. Our number is 877-876-PHIL, but it makes me pause. He's not spending his own money. He's spending the charity money. 877-876-PHIL, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
This is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
But let's talk about the troops, okay? It's not what you can't add.
Phil Hendry.
877-876-PHIL. Welcome back to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. With me is Robert Green. He's at Fraser Foods in Buena Park, California. an organization that turned out to be the allegation is it is a scam organization called the U.S. Navy Veterans Association, a rogue group described by the Ohio Attorney General as working in the charitable sphere the same way Bernie Madoff did in the investment sphere, stealing money and telling people that the money was going to enhance the lives of other people. The guy that runs this group, the guy's name is Bobby Thompson, is a fugitive. They're looking for him, at least. He hasn't been arrested, but he is definitely on the lam. With me is Robert Green from Fraser Foods. Bob, you had raised some $200,000 you had in an account for the U.S. Navy Veterans Association that you are now going to use to purchase items for these baskets. Correct.
Yeah, and Phil, I've got a list here because you were asking a list. They need deodorant, powder, jelly beans, snacks, peanuts, chewing gum, hard candy. The guys want these long-distance phone cards, which are very convenient for them, dice, playing cards, Ziploc bags. They like those Pringles chips. I've seen in this, not that I saw this on a website, I've seen in the movie Hurt Locker.
Yeah,
I guess they like those juices, the box of the juices that they have.
Uh-huh.
So we put these together in the basket.
How much are these baskets costing?
Well, the baskets are donated, so the baskets are free. So what we do is we take all of these items from our store, and then we sell them to the consumer. And these get shipped off to Iraq and Afghanistan.
All right. So what you're doing, though, is you're taking this $200,000 that is sort of just fell from the sky.
No, Phil, it didn't fall from the sky. I can trust me on that.
No, I know. It didn't fall from the sky, but it's money that you have that you're now using to buy stuff from your own store.
Well, you know, again, this is a lot of hot air that the audience, the people who are listening right now, don't care about. You know, you're asking, does six equal a half a dozen? Well, yes, it does. The fact is, Phil, people want to get these packages off to these soldiers. Again, powder, Ziploc bags.
No, I understand, and I see what these things are, and I see what it is that these young men and women need, but I'm asking the question. We've already got one scam going with this U.S. Navy Veterans Association.
Well, I really have to resent you even approaching the topic of scam with my name around it.
And I'm sorry, sir. I'm just saying, though, you're right. I didn't mean to do that.
What we are doing is completely above board, and we are helping these young men and women.
All right, yeah, right. But you're buying the stuff from your store with money that you didn't earn, you know.
I know right now, and I want to help you out here, Phil. I just know right now people listening to your program are laughing at you. And they see my side. They're saying, Bob is trying to keep the focus on the troops needing these, what is it, they need jelly beans and they need chewing gum. And you keep talking about the math. I heard what you said.
Well, is my math wrong?
With all due respect, Phil, I've been in the grocery business a long time. I've been around cash registers. I've been around accounting. Yeah, your math is... it's pretty sad.
All right, 877-876-PHIL on the Phil Henry Show. Let's take a phone call here. It is Paul. Go ahead, Paul. It is Steve in Tucson. Go ahead, Steve.
Hey, Phil. Robert, I had a couple of questions. How much are you going to charge for your baskets?
What we're going to charge for the baskets is if you take the cans of tuna, the magazines, the Sports Illustrated, it's around about a $20 value.
Oh, okay.
What? I can't hear you. I couldn't hear him. What did he say?
Hey, Steve, we can't. Yeah, there you go. Talk on the phone, man.
Okay. Robert, you're going to charge $20 for these baskets. And then, Nick, you're got the $20 you got for free. And you're not going to make a profit. You're going to make a $20 profit.
If you'll pardon me, sir, this is what your phone call just sounded like.
All right. Obviously, we didn't get these phone calls screened. Are you there, Steve? No, he's gone. 877-876-PHIL. All right, answer the man's question.
This was his question.
No, that wasn't his question. His question was, it's $20 pure profit. Okay? It's $20 pure profit.
How is it $20 pure profit when I've got to go and buy tuna from myself? And when I have to go and buy Sports Illustrated, what I'm buying, Phil, is...
You're buying it from yourself with money that was in this account already. It was an account of...
I'm buying this stuff for myself with money that was going to go to a... And you heard what the Attorney General said. A Bernie Madoff type.
It doesn't matter what the guy was. This guy is a scam artist, yes. The money that was donated is important, yes. But the fact is, this is money that you then took and paid to yourself, okay?
How is that pure profit? Go ahead, explain it to me.
It's pure profit because the money that you didn't earn that money.
No, I did not earn that money, but I'm buying tuna and Q-tips and a Sports Illustrated from myself, and I am the guy I'm buying that from. I did have to pay for the tuna and all of that. So I got to tell you something, Phil. I'll say it to you again. You really need to get your math together, and you need to get you probably need an accountant to explain this. And what we're talking about here is $200,000 that this U.S. Navy Veterans Association was going to steal. Instead, I'm giving it to me so that I can make these baskets available to our troops.
All right, 877-876-PHIL, world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry. World famous Phil Hendry Show.
All right, well, that doesn't have anything to do with it. Robert Green is on the air with us. Mr. Green is the CEO of Fraser Foods. It's a grocery chain in Southern California, across the Southwest and Southeast. And the U.S. Navy Veterans Association is according to the Attorney General of Ohio, Richard Cordray, a scam organization. They are involved in a deception and a fraud, which is on the level of a Bernie Madoff. They are run by a guy named Bobby Thompson, who is now a fugitive. They can't find this guy. They, over the last 10 years, built as much as $100 million from donors who thought they were contributing to a legitimate veterans service organization. $200,000 is collected by Mr. Green. It's in an account. And you're, understandably, Mr. Green, happy that this was found out and that this money did not get to them.
Absolutely.
But the only question I have...
As long as you are talking about this, Phil, more and more you put me into the category of a Bobby Thompson and a U.S. Navy or a Veterans Association or service. I can't allow that to happen. Now, I know that you and people who do the work that you do, maybe you fantasize about being on 60 Minutes or something.
I don't fantasize about anything of the sort, sir. Okay?
Well, whatever it is you're doing, you are taking... to task a man that knows, and forgive me for saying this, I know how to add.
And I'm just asking, this question.
I don't think you do.
I'm asking the question, if you take $200,000 that you did not earn, and you use that money to purchase supplies or to purchase...
No, we're not going out on a gold rush, okay? This isn't supplies. These are items that we send to our soldiers.
I understand. You're buying these items with money that was donated to your store. You make the profit.
Yeah, you're in over your head. You're in over your head. I know what it is you think you're saying, and you're not. I happen to be a sponsor on your radio program. If it was not for me and other courageous sponsors, you might not be on the air, sir. And for you to say that I'm some kind of a crawling thief,
I'm not using that word. I've been asking questions. I'm not making any. I'm not making any determination. I'm asking questions. Joey, go ahead. You're on the Phil Hendry Show with Robert Green.
Yeah, I understand that you have the $200,000, and I personally don't have a problem with you purchasing the stuff from your store. But my question is why are you
who
charging
am I speaking with? Who
$20
with?
For the basket?
This is my call. It's a caller. Joey is on the line.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
I said that I don't have a problem with you buying, taking the $200,000 and purchasing stuff from your store to make the basket, because the soldiers need the stuff. But my question is, why are you charging $20 for the basket? Why not just buy the baskets and send them over there? Why are you waiting for someone to buy them and holding them from the soldier until they're bought?
That's a very good question, and I'll give you the answer to that, Joey. We do, for whatever reason, and you can call it human nature, we don't put any value on something unless we have had to buy it or barter for it or work for it. If I gave those baskets away for free, people would send them to Afghanistan or Iraq by way of the U.S. mail. In other words, they wouldn't care. They'd be busted open by the time they got there. Somebody'd be picking through them.
What?
But I'm saying, I'll say it again if you want me to.
Yeah, I don't understand that.
If I give the average person a basket to send to Iraq and Afghanistan, what do you think they're going to do with it?
Why don't you?
Either one of you gentlemen. Because that's not the point. The point is to have the
$200,000. You send the basket.
What about the American people? Don't they want to be able to put their name on it and say, "Thank you, Bob. I'd like to send that." And to be honest with you, why do I got to do that? I already gave it away, and I got to spend the postage too.
Okay, so it is about money.
Whoa, hold on for a minute. This guy's got me giving it away. I give meaning to the baskets by charging for them. No one wants a basket of free, excuse my language, crap. They want a basket full of quality goods. And
if you are sending to these soldiers the things they need, whether it is the cans of tuna, whether it is the Q-tips, whatever these items are that these soldiers need, the water, and so on and so forth, it's quality stuff. It's what they need.
If it's free, it's crap. That's what they're going to say. The soldiers are going to get this, and they're going to say, how much did this cost? And someone will say it was free, and they're going to go, get that crap away from me. No, that's the way that works, Joey.
Wow. I just don't understand how you can say he has $200,000, and he's going to make the baskets. If he's got $200,000... make 150,000 in baskets and take 50,000 mail it over there.
Mail it
over there. That 200,000 belongs to the soldiers, not him.
Well, wait a minute. What do you mean it belongs to the soldiers? How does that belong to the soldiers?
Because that's what people were donating for. And seriously, Joey's got a good point. You might as well just take that money and put it into some kind of an account. You know.
Oh, no, wait. Well, hold the phone here for just a minute. You guys, you've got me going from quality goods to sending our soldiers crap. Free crap. I won't do it. I won't do it.
No, it's not free crap. How is it free crap?
Because it's free. If it's free, this guy's laughing. You want to send them something free, you go ahead. And you know what they're going to say? Thanks for the crap. I don't need that.
All right, 877, what do we got? Robert, okay. David G. Hall is on the line. David?
Yeah, what are you arguing with this guy for?
I'm not arguing with him. What do you mean?
This is one of our sponsors, all right? And if the guy says that he's giving away baskets to the soldiers as a result of the, I don't even know what he's talking about. Hold on, let me explain. I'm not giving anything away. This is Robert Green, David. Yeah. I'm not giving anything away. I'm charging $20 for baskets that I fill with stuff that I bought from myself. Sounds fair?
Oh, yeah, that sounds real fair.
Well, don't be giving this guy a hard time. I got to go out and practically, offer myself up as a sex slave just to get advertisers interested in your show. You know what that's like?
I can only imagine.
How dare you laugh at me? I heard him laugh too, Mr. How dare you?
I appreciate the work you do for me, David. I really do.
That's bull crap.
Anyway, I got to tell you, Bob, I believe...
Well, let me ask him, would you rather that I just give the money to that scam charity for them to squander? Is that what you want? Spur the troops, I'll give the money to a scam? Because I won't do that. I won't do that. I'll join Mr. Hall out there as a sex slave before I do that.
My question for you is simply this. If you go out and you say, here are free items that I'm sending to the troops, just like that guy said, and $50,000 that we will send to the troops, $50,000 that we're going to send to the troops as a result of this money having been donated in their name, then why would I have... Hey, excuse me, guys. If she's from the other night, then why are we talking to her now? Why are we talking to her now? All right, 877-876-PHIL, world famous Phil Henry Show.
It's the Phil Henry Show. Phil Hendry.
Well, Mr. Green, thank you. You're a sponsor, so I'll just not ask any of those really bad questions anymore, okay? You got $200,000 there sitting in the bank, and I don't know, you know. But I don't understand charity anyway, so I do, and I don't. I know that there's... we go to Global Navigator. That's the site that we recommend if you want to see whether there's a charity on there that that is recommended. Global Navigator, I think it's called Global Charity Navigator, something like that. Charity Navigator, but go over there, charitynavigator.org, go over there and see if the charity is listed, and if it ain't, if it's a turd in the punch bowl, they'll let you know, man, and you don't have to worry about it. But this group here, $100 million, geez, this guy must be filthy rich, $100 million over the past decade, that's $10 million a year? 99% of the funds are unaccounted for. After last night's ABC News report on this guy, Bobby Thompson, legitimate veterans groups said they were stepping up their efforts to alert the public about the alleged scam and help those seeking to help veterans identify legitimate ways to do so. And so they went on and on about, here's a guy saying, Robert Jackson, executive director of the Military Families United, as a Navy veteran, I'm deeply angered by the actions of someone who would defraud veterans and Americans. And it happens all the time. If there's a dollar to be made, if there's a sociopath afoot in America and there's a dollar to be made dishonestly, those two will come together sooner or later. All right, 877-876-PHIL is our number, and our website is philhenryshow.com. And we do have an announcement to make for you guys on Monday. We thank Robert Green tonight for being on the show and Clara Bingham. We're also going to be getting Robert Leonard and Bud Dickman in here for our news hour next hour. Glenn Beck draws criticism over Holocaust comments. This I thought was pretty interesting because they made a big deal out of this. And apparently Soros hasn't denied any of it. But here's what happened. According to Michael Calderon from the Yahoo News Service, Glenn Beck has railed many times against George Soros, a Hungarian-American financier and liberal philanthropist whom the conservative host dubs the progressive puppet master. But Beck ramped up his criticism this week on Fox News and his radio show, making comments about how Soros survived in Nazi-occupied Hungary that had provoked denunciations from Jewish organizations. Beck said on his radio show that Soros is a 13-year-old Jewish boy living apart from his parents in order to avoid apprehension by the Nazis, used to go around with this anti-Semite and deliver papers to the Jews and confiscate their property and then ship them off. It was frightening. Here's a Jewish boy helping send the Jews to their death camp. He's walking around with this guy. He's a kid. Anybody that thinks this child, a Jewish child scared to death, trying to avoid apprehension, trying to hide in any way that he can, is assisting in the sending of Jews off to death camps. Anyway, Abraham Foxman, national director of the Anti-Defamation League and a Holocaust survivor, said that Beck's comments were inappropriate, over-the-top, offensive, jive-ass, and like that. He said, I disagree with Soros, but to hold a kid responsible for what was going on around him during the Holocaust as part of a larger effort to denigrate the man is repugnant. Steve Croft of 60 Minutes in 1998. He told Soros that it sounded like, quote, an experience that would send lots of people to the psychiatric couch for many, many years. Soros said that he doesn't feel guilty for what happened because whether I was there or not, I was only a spectator. The property was already being taken away. So this kid did what we saw in that movie Schindler's List. Remember when that one guy wanted to escape the soldiers that were coming after all the Jews in the ghetto? He pretended like he had been given orders to clear the baggage away from the road, you know. Beck, who on Tuesday described Soros' actions in the 1940s on Fox News, also claimed not to be making a judgment. Fox News defended Beck and said that this is all stuff that Soros has said that he did. Yeah, he did. He did do that, you know. But, I mean, you also heard what Glenn said, that the guy was helping Nazis. So I have to think that maybe there's something kind of not going too good there on the Glenn Beck show. I mean, what the hell, Glenn? You know, you'd do better, man, if you just said that. Why did we, you know, buy Alaska in the 1950s? And the other story here is this guy, Nadler, and Bush, and waterboarding. The American Civil Liberties Union and Congressman Jerry Nadler on Thursday joined a growing chorus in the human rights community calling for a special prosecutor to investigate whether former President George Bush violated federal... I can't... There's not enough air in my lungs to read that sentence. The American Civil Liberties Union and Congressman Jerry Nadler on Thursday joined a growing chorus in the human rights community calling for a special prosecutor to investigate whether former President George W. Bush violated federal statutes prohibiting torture. In his new memoir and ensuing book tour, Bush has repeatedly admitted that he directly authorized the waterboarding of the three terror suspects and enjoyed it. And why wouldn't he? The ACLU is urging Attorney General Eric Holder. Is this the same ACLU man who had that guy on our show that I kicked his ass in a debate? That can't be. Is urging Attorney General Eric Holder to ask Assistant U.S. Attorney John Durham to investigate Bush. All right, here is this jackass. Here is on MSNBC, The Edge Show, Jerry Nadler. Jerry Nadler.
The United States has always considered waterboarding torture, except during the Bush administration. We prosecuted Japanese generals for waterboarding people. We prosecuted American soldiers for waterboarding people in past decades. The current Attorney General, Mr. Holder, has said that waterboarding is torture. We have always regarded it as torture. And under our statute and under international law, we are bound to prosecute it. The President has a duty under the Constitution to take care that laws are faithfully executed. And now that former President Bush has said that he personally ordered waterboarding, there must be at least an investigation and a special prosecutor.
So does that soundbite and the book indict the president, in your opinion?
It absolutely indicts the president.
All right. I don't know whether I'm asking something that can't be done, but when exactly did we prosecute Japanese generals for waterboarding? I know when it probably happened, but exactly, was it about waterboarding? When and exactly what was the charge? Waterboarding? And what about the American soldiers that we've prosecuted for waterboarding? I don't doubt that we've prosecuted American soldiers for torture. You have a legal opinion that was provided to the President of the United States by the Justice Department, you idiot. Oh, God, man, I better slow down because this is going to be a real rough hour, man. I mean, the way I'm feeling right now. But, you know, we have a Justice Department that gave the President of the United States the right to waterboard. They told him it was legal. Okay, Nadler? The Obama administration's own Justice Department has declined to prosecute. I mean, I don't know who this guy Nadler is, but I swear to God, you know, you want to keep voting for a guy that's lying. Anyway, so there's that story. So what we're going to do right now is get up our Dr. Green Thumb, man, because that's where that is at right now. Dr. Green Thumb with a... some of the stuff that's been going on in the world of dope, man. Not that I may encourage the use of it, but...
Hello, Dr. Green Thumb.
Sure use a little bit of it right now, man. Pennsylvania man lights joint to celebrate child's birth. Police said a new father faces drug charges because he lit up a marijuana joint instead of a cigar to celebrate his child's birth at a Western Pennsylvania hospital. Police aren't identifying the man found smoking the pot in a designated smoking area of Uniontown Hospital. Uniontown Police Sergeant Jonathan Grabiak told the Pittsburgh Tribune-Review that a nurse smelled the marijuana when she took a cigarette break in the same area, and a hospital security guard called police about 3:20 a.m. A southern Idaho woman growing a 4-foot-tall pot plant in her front yard has been arrested and faces several felony drug charges. A preliminary hearing in the case of 48-year-old Laurie M. Donald is scheduled next Thursday in Cassia County. A Hagerstown jury has convicted a woman of burglary, assault, and reckless endangerment for breaking into her neighbor's house wearing nothing but a bridal skirt and a veil on a snowy night in April. Scratch and sniff marijuana cards distributed in the Netherlands. Around 30,000 Dutch households have started receiving marijuana-scented scratch cards in an effort to uncover illegal cannabis plantations. Authorities in Rotterdam and The Hague say they are distributing the cards to help people recognize what cannabis plants smell like. They also include a telephone number to report suspected marijuana growing. In Scottsdale, Arizona, it was a wild morning in Scottsdale Thursday. A 29-year-old man who had crashed into three cars told cops he had ingested spice, a synthetic marijuana that is not approved for human consumption. Thursday around 7:30 a.m., witnesses reported that a driver was driving eastbound on Thomas Road at a high rate of speed. In Columbus, Ohio, a Clark County man who could face more charges after investigators found a package filled with marijuana addressed to his house. Investigators said the Dayton Narcotics Task Force were alerted to the package by the Postal Service and used a drug-sniffing dog to confirm there was something suspicious. Finally, a Falmouth High School teacher has been charged with possession of marijuana after surprise police search of vehicles in the parking school lot, in the school parking lot on Monday. Falmouth Police Department, along with 10 other canines from Cumberland County, conducted a surprise sniff of vehicles in the parking lot. This is an ongoing exercise. Kilbride said two police dogs alerted officers to a vehicle, which was then searched. Officers found a 2.4 grams of marijuana in a container in the car. And that's that hour. 877-876-PHIL. World famous Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry. Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Henry.
She couldn't stand, and you know, she was telling us that she originally had four more
alluding to when you walked onto the VMAs and grabbed the mic from Taylor Swift.
To tell you the truth, I don't think that is
you blew it.
She's definitely a tramp.
World-famous Phil Henry Show here every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast, a news, talk, and entertainment show one way or another that knows what it's
talking about.
Sarah Palin gets down and dirty in her new TV show. Well, now, what, pray tell, does that mean? I guess she got dirty, as in she fell into some mud or something?
No, maybe she was naked.
I doubt that, man. I don't think so either. Maybe she was naked. 877-876-PHIL and online at philhenryshow.com. What a night tonight, man.
Yeah, man. You, the sooner you go, take a day off, the better.
Maybe. Sarah Palin gets down and dirty in her new TV show, Forget the Real Housewives and Trying to Keep Up with the Kardashians. Sarah Palin's Alaska, which makes its TV debut on Sunday, couldn't be further from the pampered pooches and designer divas seen in much of the popular reality TV fare about the lives of American.
What's wrong with that?
There's nothing wrong with it, man. It's just it's not a reality show, okay? Let's stop with the reality show. This is a show that is a camera on a life that people are playing to the camera, and they're acting. They're improvising. They're not acting as in, you know, having memorized lines, but they are acting, and they're making, you know, their best effort. They're putting their best foot forward, as it were. You don't think Sarah Palin... Uh-oh, I just lost all of my news. You don't think Sarah Palin is going to stand there and let's say, for instance, it is a normal occurrence for Todd to fart at the breakfast table.
No.
Do you think he's going to do it on the show?
He ought to. It would be wrong if... Wouldn't it be wrong if he did not?
If it would be wrong if he didn't? Or just polite?
Yeah, but why would he be polite if it's going to be a reality show?
Well, I agree with you, bud. So if it's a normal thing for Todd to cut a few farts at the breakfast table, I'm not saying that it is, but let's say that he does. Why wouldn't he do it on the show?
Because they don't want to show him doing that, man. They're talking about Sarah Palin being Alaskan and everything.
So what is this, man? Is this a big commercial for Alaska? Is it a reality show about the former governor of Alaska? Is it a reality show about a woman, a powerful woman in America, who is also a mother, who is also a wife, who is a proud Alaskan? What are we talking about, man? What is this show about?
It's about Sarah Palin and what she's doing and everything.
All right, it's about Sarah Palin. So is it a reality show or what, man?
No, man, it's like...
Let's see if we can make Sarah Palin entertaining if we take all the humanity out of her and just make her sort of the Barbie doll of the North.
What are you talking about, man? You're trying to make her look bad.
No, I'm not. I'm just saying... Look, forget the Real Housewives and trying to keep with the Kardashians. Sarah Palin makes the TV debut on Sunday. Couldn't be further from the pampered pooches and designer divas. The 8-part show on cable channel TLC portrays the Tea Party favorite and arguably America's most polarizing public figure as a family-loving outdoors woman who is as happy getting salmon in the mud. Oh, gutting salmon in the mud. Jeez.
Yeah.
What do I mean, getting it?
She's happy grabbing herself a little bit of salmon in the mud. No, she's happy gutting salmon in the mud. Well, that's kind of against, what do you call it, animal rights?
Yeah, I think so, man.
Well, then the animal rights don't care about a fish.
I don't know. I would think that they would. I would think that the people who care about animals would be all over Sarah Palin like white on rice, man, when she's gutting that salmon.
Yeah, but you told me one time that salmon wasn't too bright.
Well, you know...
What do you mean salmon isn't too bright?
Phil said one time that salmon ain't all that bright.
I didn't say salmon ain't all that bright. I said, if you look at saltwater fish and you look at freshwater fish, saltwater fish's eyes look around in much the same way a mammal's eyes or a cat. You ever seen like a saltwater fish? They'll kind of, their eyes dart about. They look around, right?
Yeah.
If you look at a lake water fish, their eyes are just these dumb, dead eyes, you know?
Well, what's that supposed to mean, man? I'm in a lake water. How come they're dumb?
Yeah, what would make a lake fish dumb?
I think the lake fish are dumber because they have not the predators to deal with that the saltwater fish have had to deal with down through the many millions of years. The saltwater fish are dealing with a much more hostile environment, so they have to be, more instinctive. Whereas in the lakes, which obviously were bodies of water that were once attached to the oceans... And then the oceans receded and left these lakes, and the fish evolved dumb.
Yeah, that's what basically saying, man, because when it evolved out, they got dumb.
Yeah, well, how's that evolution, then, if they got... Oh, man, I'd love to see the guy... In other words, you're saying that we get dumber. And
I'm not saying we get... What are you talking about, man?
Evolution's supposed to be getting better.
Wait a minute, man. Evolution is surviving. That's what evolution is. What do you mean, dumber? Evolution is surviving. The freshwater fish evolved in such a way to survive their environment. I don't know what there is in freshwater that they have to survive, but they got to survive a bunch of guys with beer guts. That's what they got to survive.
What are you talking about?
Fishermen.
Oh.
But it doesn't mean that evolution means that you get dumber. Although in your case, bud.
Yeah, I'll go see.
All right, so...
What are you talking? Shut up.
Don't slap him. Anyway, advanced clips of the show are pretty miserable. Palin... No, I'm kidding. Advanced clips of the show show Palin hiking with various family members, naked, in the glaciers of her Alaska home state...
Let me see that.
Take that away from me. I'm kidding around, man. She's not naked. She's hiking with various family members in the glaciers of her Alaska home state, kayaking along its rivers, teaching her five children how to handle wild bears. How to handle wild bears?
Man, they'd rip your face off.
That's right. That wouldn't be a very smart thing to do there, Sarah. And gathering in prayer for a homely 16th birthday party for their homely daughter. No, it doesn't say that. For their daughter, Willow. But the word homely is probably misplaced there, meaning at home. On Friday, TLC announced that Christian rock band Third Day. I wonder why they call it Third Day.
A lot of them Christian bands got to sound all like, what do you call it?
Like the devil came, like the devil's arrived.
Yeah, like the devil's here. And,
well, what's Third Day, man?
Well, you know, on the third day, man, you know, something happened.
You'd have to look at Revelations or something, bud. Look it up, will you?
I don't know nothing about a Bible.
Anyway, so the Christian rock band Third Day will provide the theme music for the series with the song Follow Me There, and Atomic Rooster's Death Walks Behind You will also, I'm joking. All right. I wanted to find this Palin, such as it is, bit of audio, because, God, this story needs something like that. Now, here it is, Sarah Palin, and here is the TV show's opener. In a sneak peek at her new show, Alaska, we see Sarah and her family encountering a family of bears while gutting salmon alive, and you can hear the screams, no, I'm kidding, while they're fishing for salmon.
I love watching these mama bears.
What I see in that is what a mom would do, too. Anything and everything, laying down her life for her kids. Let's get the fish before the bear gets the fish.
What about the mother salmon, huh?
I'm going to say that, man.
Yeah, but the fish, you can't play the rest of it.
Wait a minute. What about the mother salmon?
You make a good point, man.
The salmon ain't have, the salmon's dumb, like you said.
The salmon's dumb.
I love watching these mama bears.
What I see in that is what a mom would do, uh-huh, too. Anything, right, and everything, laying down her life for her kids.
Right.
Let's get the fish before the bear gets the fish.
Right.
Roar! Piper, don't. A bear's coming towards us. We're going to back up. Look at his claws, McKinley.
Get us back up.
Yeah, you know, I'm looking around to Todd going, are you feeling what I'm feeling? It could think that we are its lunch instead of those little tiny salmon.
Do you think?
All times we're snagged on a rock.
You think I'm thinking? I'm thinking?
Does the name Timothy Treadwell come to?
Oh, my God, man. That's the most grotesque thing you could ever have said.
Timothy Treadwell, you know, he was up there, too, up close and personal, Mrs. Palin. Tim Treadwell, and they captured it on the audio of it on the camera when Tim Treadwell became a snack and his girlfriend.
Yeah, they would never show that on a TV.
No, they're not going to show it. I'm not saying that they would. I'm not saying they should. But I would say to you, Governor, if I was standing there, I'd say, Governor, I think, come on, they're just a bunch of bears. Have you ever heard of the grizzly man?
Man, that would be bad.
Oh, yeah. I'd get Werner Herzog. You see, Governor Palin, you know, did you ever hear the narration he did for the grizzly man? It was very, it was a beautiful film, The Grizzly Man. But it was also a film where Werner Herzog knew that Tim Treadwell was off. He did not make any, he didn't cover up the fact that Tim Treadwell was a little bent.
What about, I don't even know what you guys are talking about, The Grizzly Man.
You never heard of that?
Uh-uh.
Oh, geez, really?
You're kidding.
No, I'm not, man. I'm not kidding at all.
You never heard about a grizzly man?
No.
You never?
No, I didn't.
The grizzly man was a guy named Tim Treadwell. He was a young man from California. And he would go up to Alaska every summer and spend the entire summer in what was called the maze. This is an area of Alaska where grizzlies live. And he did this for every summer for many, many years. The upside of Tim Treadwell's efforts was that he documented his life with these bears every summer by way of video. He also kept a written diary. He has some very charming video. If you look at the Grizzly Man diary videos, a lot of it is really charming. He befriends a family of foxes.
Yeah, I like when that little fox run away with his hat.
Yeah, this little fox. Foxes are heavy, man. They're like dogs. I mean, you can this family of foxes became really tight with him. And
And one of the little foxes stole his hat. And then one day he came back to his campsite and these weasels had gotten in to everything. And weasels are a riot. They're these little furry dudes that are just all sniffing his shoe and looking at his hat and looking around. It was like just a bunch of dudes who were, hey, what are you doing here? You know, we're weasels. You're supposed to live here? I don't know.
Really?
Yeah. But Tim Treadwell also had this cat was a former drug addict, I mean, admittedly, and he'd gotten off of drugs. And his whole life was about these bears, and his whole life was, he gave them names. And he, through his observations, perhaps, I don't know, I've never talked or heard from any wildlife experts what Tim Treadwell was able to contribute to the literature on grizzly bears. I don't know if his observations were valid, but they certainly were extensive, and it was amazing seeing him. It was almost like the story of a guy who had a little bit of an ego on him, who on one of the tapes is very expressly cussing out the U.S. Department of the Interior, and he's cussing out the cats that run the Ranger Service, and he's cussing out all these guys, man, you know. So he had a kind of a political thing going on. And anyway, one summer he was in the, what does that say, Jason? Katmai National Park in Alaska. And he was on his way out, as he was every summer. He had a guy who would come and pick him up in a bush plane. And that was the same dude that dropped him off at the beginning of the summer. So this dude would drop him off with his supplies and then pick him up at the end of the summer and he'd go. Well, this one summer, his girlfriend was up there with him, Amy. And he decided to hang around for another couple of weeks. I'm not exactly sure why, but he wanted to hang out for another couple of weeks. Well, it's not really the best time because a lot of these bears are, I think they're getting ready to hibernate.
What's that?
Hibernate is go to sleep. Basically, the bears sleep for a long time. Well, the one thing you want to do before you hibernate is what?
Yeah, man, they're going to eat a lot of food.
They want to eat. The bears want to eat. There had been a bear in this maze area of creeks that Tim Treadwell was at that he saw, and he didn't trust this guy. He hadn't even really given him a name, but he had said to the camera many times, there's that bear again. I don't know about that guy. He's new here. I mean, because he talked about these bears like they're people. And one of the guys that was interviewed for the movie said that Tim Treadwell's big mistake was that he thought bears were nothing more than people in bear suits. And that proved to be, you know, pretty true, I think. Anyway, make a long story short, on October the 5th, 2003, and this was in the 85-year history of this particular national park, this was the first time this happened. What is the meaning of what you just wrote to me, man? A bear killed and ate a bear. What the hell does that mean, man? Anyway, this dude was attacked by this bear. This was captured on audio by the video camera that had been turned on, but the cap, the lens cap was on. And I don't know, maybe that was a good thing, man. I don't know, because the audio of Tim Treadwell being attacked and killed by this bear, and then, additionally, the audio of his girlfriend Amy coming, trying to come to his rescue, the voice of Tim Treadwell telling her to get away, to just get away, and she won't. She won't leave him. She was attacking this bear with whatever she had. Some people have assumed it might have been some kind of a cooking utensil of some kind, a frying pan, whatever. The animal then turned on her, killed her, and that was it, man. That was it. And when the bush pilot came in to pick them up, knowing that he was coming in a couple of weeks later than expected, he said, I knew right away. They said, what did you see? He said, I saw the spinal column of Tim Treadwell and his head. He said, I knew what had happened. He said, I knew what had happened. So that's the story there, man.
Boy, that's, you think that happened to Sarah Palin or anybody like that?
Yes, I do. I think Sarah Palin is. No, I don't. Jeez, we'll be back. Phil Henry Show.
It's The Phil Hendry Show.
This is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Oh, well, he did. And we're back here on the Phil Hendry Show. We only got a few minutes so before we take our bottom of the hour break, but I'll finish up the story about Grizzly Man because the documentary was made by Werner Herzog. He's a long-time, well-established documentarian, a German director. He's also done dramatic pieces, done a lot of documentaries. In the movie, Tim Treadwell had a girlfriend in California, too. Her name was Jewel Palovac. And she was the only really surviving person, I guess you could say, other than Tim's parents, who would inherit whatever it was that he had. You know, I think he was married to her or was going or had been something like that and was divorcing her and was going to marry this Amy. But the tape from the camera was retrieved and it was in her possession. She had the tape. And Werner Herzog asked her, he said, may I listen to it? Because she didn't know what to do with it. She hadn't listened to it. She certainly hadn't watched it. There was nothing on it because of the lens cap. He said, let me listen to it. Would you mind? She said, no. And the camera is on Werner Herzog as he has the headphones on and he's listening to the, well, I mean, to the death of the violent, savage death of these two people. And he says to her, when he takes the headphones off, he says, don't ever listen to this. And you must destroy this. You must destroy this tape. And I remember hearing that and thinking, that's probably the best advice that woman's going to get.
Well, why's she going to destroy it?
Because somebody might, it might get into the hands of some real jackasses that want to exploit it and turn it into YouTube fare, you know?
Yeah, but YouTube, that's only on a sound, right?
It doesn't matter, man. Even if it's audio, some jackass would have put a video to it. So, to the best of my reckoning, I should say, she took his advice because it's nowhere to be found, man. I haven't heard of it, and I'm glad, and I haven't seen anybody, and I'm glad. But that's what he told her. He listened to this thing, and this was a woman who the man that she loved was dying in this tape, and he said to her, "Don't ever listen to this, and you have to destroy this tape." And the look on her face,
she must have been scared.
Well, the look on her face, her eyes were like just bugged out. Like, okay. And she was nodding and she was listening and she was, I don't think there was any doubt what she was going to do with that tape. I think she was going to do exactly what he told her to do with it. So anyway, that's the Grizzly Man story, you know. So no, I don't think that's going to happen to Sarah Palin, but
never know.
Never know.
Yeah, well, they would get her out of there and everything in the Secret Service.
That's right, bud. They'd have the Secret Service.
What's the Secret Service going to do?
You ever heard of guns? Oh, don't know about guns.
The Secret Service? Are you crazy? She don't need the Secret Service. She's probably got the knock on her next door neighbor, man. He's probably got more guns than the Secret Service has got. Anyway, I don't think it's going to happen. All right, coming up, a video of a racial tirade against a postal worker causes an uproar, but is the tape actually real? Is this really a racial tirade, or is it a couple of friends having a joke? We don't know. We'll talk about it coming up here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry. Casting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
St. Joe's students sent to hospital after drinking four loaves. I'm just yelling because the bumper music is driving me out of my mind. St. Joe's students sent to hospital after drinking four loco. Well, how about that? Now, this is this drinking, this is this alcoholic beverage that has caffeine in it, okay? And for some reason, I don't know why, but it's affecting some of these college students. I mean, let's just be, you know, clear about what we're talking about. These are people that have probably don't have a lot of experience drinking, and they're drinking like idiots, and they're getting sick. Is that a fair assessment?
That's what I think.
I don't hear of adults getting sick on this stuff, and you're not going to tell me that there aren't adults drinking it. You know, for a fact, there are adults drinking it.
I don't hear of every single solitary college student that drinks the stuff getting sick. I'm hearing every weekend the press selectively finding stories about Four Loko so they can manipulate the states involved, whether it's Pennsylvania or whether it's Colorado or I don't know who these guys are, so they can basically manipulate the politics involved and get this stuff banned or otherwise control the story. I mean, that... whether they're doing it on purpose or not, it's hard to believe that they're not. I mean, every news reporter, every person out there that's involved in gathering information, I mean, their dream is to, you know, get the story. And if there's no story to get, well, then you better make a story. Because somebody's going to be out there making one. Now, what have you guys done with this Four Loko story? You people at the, NBC, ABC, CBS, what you've done is every week, man, you've got somebody out there in the world reporting on a college student, some dumb punk kid that doesn't know how to drink. Let's face it. I mean, I was one once. I mean, if there isn't a human being out there that drinks that hasn't crawled in the weeds at least one time in their life and puked.
Well, you should admit on that, though.
And you have, too, haven't you?
Yeah.
What about you, Robert?
Sure.
Everybody. And that's what these kids are doing. They're sent to the hospital after drinking Four Loko, but the school won't say when it happened or talk about how many students, except to say that it was a handful. Four Loko is a popular and controversial energy alcohol hybrid drink that Pennsylvania's Liquor Control Board has asked distributors to stop selling. All right, so why don't you go buy yourself a Red Bull and some vodka? Same difference. Four Loko is becoming more popular on campus. According to the school's newspaper, The Hawk, local doctors have told the school they've seen an uptick in the blood alcohol levels of students they've treated, and the information's also coming from the sick students. What are we talking about, sick students? What does that mean? What does that mean?
Maybe they're puking more than other students is.
Well, I can tell you what it means, if you want to know, because this is where we're at on college campuses. I'm telling you, this is the case. If anybody on a college campus who is, let's say, in charge, man, I don't know who that would be, an administrator, a school nurse, somebody in the dorm who is in charge of that floor of the dorm, you know, whoever, and they come across somebody who's passed out drunk, you understand?
Yeah.
Do you realize that some universities, that mandates a ambulance trip to the hospital? There's just no getting around it. Well, yeah, but if they're passed out. Well, all right. But let's say you're in your bed and you're passed out drunk and they wake you up and you wake up and they say, aha, you were passed out drunk. Right. You got to go to the hospital in an ambulance. You think I'm kidding? That's the way it is in California, the UC system. That's the way it is in the state of California at UC. If they walk into your dorm room and you're asleep and they smell alcohol in your breath, and they've been told that there's been excessive drinking, you have to go to the hospital and get checked out because they're afraid you have alcohol poisoning, or maybe you're going to go into a coma, or whatever this lightweight, jive-ass, bullcrap thing is. We have no understanding of alcohol. Do you understand, folks, decades after the founding of Alcoholics Anonymous, we don't have a clue what it means. I mean, the people in AA do. We have no idea what alcoholism truly is. It is an individual biochemical reaction based upon the physical type involved, the individual involved. Some people can drink Four Loko and walk home and do handstands on the way. Other people drink Four Loko and are passed out dead, blind, stinking drunk. Other people drink two sips of Four Loko and they spew vomit like that guy in that Monty Python movie that you think is so funny, bud.
That's bitching. Is that the meaning of life?
I guess. I don't know.
Yeah, that's the one.
Jeez.
That's the funniest scene of any movie anywhere when they vomit. Yeah, how do you think they did that? With a fire hose or something? Or did they?
I don't know, man, and I don't care. I'm not talking about that right now. But there's probably people that spew like that after they drink two sips of Four Loko. Just... like that, like the puppet puked in Team America?
That was funnier, man. Well, okay.
You think the puppet puking was... Oh, I don't even know why I'm talking about this. Anyway...
I thought it was.
That one puppet thrown up in the alley in Team America was killing me.
Was you the voice of that, of the throw-up?
Was I the what?
Did you voice the throw-up?
No, I didn't voice the throw-up man. I didn't voice that puppet. I did the terrorist and the intelligence computer.
Oh, who voiced the throw-up?
What do you mean voiced the throw-up man?
What are you talking about?
Who went bleh, like that? I don't know. Some one of the other actors, I guess. Who voiced the throw-up?
Well, who? It's not a bad question.
No, bud, I didn't voice the throw-up. It was whoever the actor was that was playing that puppet. I'm sure he voiced the throw-up. Now then. So here's what one of these doctors, Carrie Anderson, the vice president of the Office of Student Life. Oh, great. That's a hell of a great name. The Office of Student Life. We asked people what they had to drink so the emergency room doctor knows what to do. And we started seeing Four Loko come up as something that people had been drinking that got them to the point of where they needed hospitalization. I'm not exactly clear yet on what the hospitalization is, you know. And that's what I mean. Do these kids need hospitalization, or is it just a standard rule of the universities there in Pennsylvania and elsewhere, like in California, that if you are in a certain state, you must go to the hospital? Last month, 9 students were hospitalized in Washington after drinking Four Loko at an off-campus party. What do you mean? Were they put in overnight? Was it alcohol poisoning? Were they just overamped on the caffeine? Did they need Valium? What the hell did... Fusion Projects, maker of Four Loko, was started by 3 college friends from Ohio State University in, in 2005. The company says its beverages are not energy drink, as they've been called, and when consumed responsibly, they're just as safe as any other alcoholic beverage, which I don't doubt at all. Just this week, the company posted an open letter on their website to state and federal regulators saying that they were open to discussing the concerns about mixing caffeine and alcohol, but they shouldn't be singled out, that any restrictions should apply to the entire caffeinated alcoholic beverage category, not non-specific individual projects and not just beers or malt-based products. So is that what that is? Is that what Four Loko is?
Yeah, I think it's like caffeine and beer.
Oh, my God, that's got to taste like rot gut. One of the students from the Washington College incident with Four Loko was briefly in a coma and had a blood alcohol level of 0.35. What's going on with us, you guys, is not the fault of the drink. It's the fault of the idiots that are drinking. And they're idiots, too. They're slamming this stuff. They're shooting this stuff. I think there was a video of somebody shooting Four Loko, you know, extra through like some extra tube that they attached to the bottom of the can. Right. And this is all a part of the dance, you know, of the coming of age, of the passage to manhood for some young men to see if you can withstand the toxic effects of alcohol and survive. I don't know. I mean,
you think that's a valid way of coming in, coming up to the manhood?
No, I don't think that's a valid way of coming up to manhood. No, I don't. I don't. Not at all. There's a video on YouTube where a college student beer bongs 2 Four Lokos in a matter of 10 to 15 seconds. So that's 26% alcohol. I mean, if you were to combine those two drinks, the entire drink would be a, you know, quarter alcohol. And I don't know how much caffeine. He did these two Four Lokos in 10 to 15 minutes, or 10 to 15 seconds, rather. And that guy's walking around upright, free as a bird, and probably just got done doing his mother's laundry and is bringing her flowers and a basket of chocolates. I was going to say a basket of Bosco, but that would have been...
racist.
Right. And he's doing fine, man. He's living large and the whole, you know, what's wrong with him? Nothing.
Well, if a guy could beer bong 2 4 Lokos, how come they don't single him out on account of the other people?
Well, bud, here's the thing. Are you going to say to that guy, oh, you beer bonged 2 4 Lokos, we better take you to the hospital too?
Yeah.
There's nothing wrong with him, man. There's nothing wrong with the guy. He's drunk. He's drunk out of his mind, but maybe he's just laying down to sleep. That cat didn't have to go to the hospital. Why?
Because that guy has got a different kind of metabolism.
No, man. No, you're wrong. You're both wrong. The Four Loko is not sending everybody that drinks it to the hospital. There is a minority of individuals involved in going to the hospital after drinking Four Loko. I maintain that they are irresponsible young males, most likely, who've turned drinking Four Loko into some kind of a, you know, test of their manhood.
You know, it's replaced tequila. And so that's what they're doing. And the you know, there are other people there who are not drinking it like a bunch of jackballs. So here's a guy, this guy drinks it like a jackball, but he knows what he's doing. You know, I've always believed you can drink as much booze as you want if you know what the hell it is you're doing, if you're not going to be driving, if you're going to be staying put, if you got a nice safe place to go and puke, who cares?
Yeah, well, that's my philosophy, and I've always lived by it.
Hey, all right.
Good one, man.
Yeah. All right, coming back here on a world-famous Phil Henry Show, 877-876-PHIL. Kanye West cancels a concert on the Today Show because he got all upset with Matt Lauer for, I don't know. 877-876-PHIL.
Phil Henry. Phil Henry Show.
Coming up on Sunday night, don't forget we got Sunday Night Phil. We have three classic hours on our video feed of our archive material. And we always seem to roll out something great on our Sunday Night Phil from the archives that is sort of legendary. We had the Greenskeeper. Oh, I don't know, man. If I went to the website, I could refresh my memory. The Greenskeeper is classic, man. It was that, and we mentioned it on the show. It was this guy that called 10 years ago when we talked about Tiger Woods winning the British Open. And this dude called in from Cheviot Hills, which is one of the great golf courses here in Southern California and maybe across the country. This guy sounded like he was going to have a stroke. I don't know why that's funny, but in any event, we also have a bit on there called Fat Ass. What in the hell is this, bud?
Here it is.
Phil introduces on August 2000 clip featuring retired commercial pilot. Oh, Art Griego theorized that TWA went down because there was competitive dieting among the flight attendants. And one of them got tired of being called Fat Ass, so she lit a book of matches and threw it into a gas tank on the plane. It was insane. So check it out there, philhenryshow.com. That is Sunday Night Phil coming up at 6 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on the Phil Henry Show website. Kanye West, excuse me, Kanye West has canceled a Today Show concert amid this Bush flap. Now, it all started out, well, you know how it all started out when Kanye West had been on television after Katrina and said that George Bush doesn't care about black people. And I think we played that clip for you at one point. So he said that. President Bush comes out with his book, which is called Decision Points, and he says that that was like a low point in his presidency to be called a racist and to say that he didn't care about black people, that to have someone say that about him. Kanye West then came back and said, well, you know, maybe I overstated the case, and it probably wasn't the most fair thing to say, but I was very, you know, upset. So that sounded very cool and almost like there had been a, you know, two men sort of expressing themselves and coming to a rather adult place in the road. Well, all of that got compromised slightly here as Kanye West today, or I should say on Friday, canceled a performance on NBC's Today Show to protest what he called a setup when he was interviewed on the program over his flap with former President George Bush. West was due to perform on the morning show on the 26th, the Friday after Thanksgiving, but canceled after the perceived slight during an appearance on the Today Show last Wednesday. Live performances are ratings draws for Today, the top-rated U.S. morning talk show. I'm not performing on the Today Show for obvious reasons. I'm so happy the world got to see just a small piece of the setup, he said. An NBC spokeswoman said, I don't know what this guy's talking about. No, she didn't say it. She said, well, you know how blacks are. And an NBC spokeswoman, through Keith Olbermann, said, you know how these darkies. No, she didn't say. She said that they confirmed the performance was canceled. Now, the dispute stems from West's comment after Hurricane Katrina 5 years ago that the slow U.S. government response was because Bush, president of the United States at the time, doesn't care about black people. Bush referred to West's criticism in his recently released memoirs, and he told Matt Lauer, I resent it. It's not true. It was one of the most disgusting moments of my presidency. Bush's remarks drew attention because, as Lauer said, they were the most emotional comments Bush made during the 3.5-hour interview that covered topics including the September 11th attacks, the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan, and other things. I just lost the second page. Well, anyway, let's listen to this comment here. This is Kanye West. He's not happy, and the Today Show's Matt Lauer shows a clip of President Bush during the interview. So he feels like he was set up, even though he was being sort of, you know, he was manning up about it.
Just play the tape. Don't even listen this time. I want you to just look at his face when he is commenting about you. And just look at him. I mean, this is the most emotional he got during my entire 3.5-hour interview with him. What would you say to him if he would meet with you face to face? And I'm not sure he would, but if he would.
Yeah, well, I mean, I didn't need you guys to show me the tape in order to, like, prompt my emotion to what I'm going to say.
You know? I'm just asking you, when you look at his face, what would you say to him?
I mean, pre-looking at his face, I came up here because I wanted to say something to him right after the fact. You know, I would say, you know what I'm saying? It's like, I don't really have to do the TV stuff with me. This is reality. This is the real thing going on. You know what I'm saying? I don't need all the jazz.
what the hell?
I would say to... Can we be quiet for a second?
Whoa, dude. All right. So he's pissed off because there seems to be some dramatic setup going on with the tape and a whole lot of theatrics that Kanye West is saying. This is about how I feel. This is about how he feels. What are you people doing? And you, whoever you are, keep your mouth shut. Ann Curry. No, he said whatever he said. Now Kanye West gets upset that the Today Show played a clip of the Taylor Swift incident.
We're alluding to when you walked onto the VMAs and grabbed the mic from Taylor Swift. And,
yeah.
And some people said this wasn't a guy expressing his musical preference.
Yeah.
This was a guy who was making a statement about race, that Beyonce was better than Taylor Swift. And you got accused of racism.
Yeah, exactly. And it was so funny to me that it could be a race thing, because where I was expressing was my frustration from years and years of seeing,
I'm really happy for you. I'll let you finish. But Beyonce had one of the best videos of all.
Yo, how am I supposed to talk if you're going to run this thing in the middle while I'm talking?
It's under. You won't be hearing
it. But I'm hearing
much.
It while I'm trying to talk.
Okay, can you take the sound out of the overheads, please? Just pick up. You said it wasn't a race thing.
Please don't let that happen. It's like ridiculous.
See, I really like that. I like his reaction to the way an interview can be manipulated, the way that the way you're supposed to perceive it is manipulated by the people who are conducting it. Well, let's just show these pictures here so you'll really get what it is we're talking about. And meanwhile, Kanye West, while he is very heartfelt and honest, he looks like a jackball on wheels. So that was kind of I thought that was a good moment there. In any event, the president was asked wide-ranging questions. Lauer had West on the program Wednesday to discuss Bush's reaction. And here's what you didn't hear. He said, quote, I would tell George Bush in my moment of frustration that I didn't have the grounds to call him a racist. You didn't hear that in the clips, and I think that's an important thing. But West grew agitated, and you obviously heard him say that. That he didn't like them rolling all that dramatic footage while he's trying to speak about the things that they have asked him to speak about. All right, the world-famous Phil Henry Show. So, you know, I think that was kind of a cool moment.
Yeah, but I think that President Bush should have called him up and said, you know, let's throw down or something. I mean, it's not going to have a fight or anything, but...
What do you mean, let's throw down?
What do you want him to do? Well, just say, you don't have no right to talk to me like that. I'm the President of the United States. You're a silly hip-hop person.
He ain't going to do that, bud.
Why not?
He's not going to waste his time, okay?
Yeah, but that's just it. It did hurt him, so he should have said it instead of pretending like it didn't.
I don't know, man. I mean, it hurt him, but he probably thought his hurt feelings over Kanye West ain't what it's about. You know, he's got other stuff he's got to do. He's got other fish to fry, you know.
Lake fish?
What?
Lake fish. The dumb ones.
Lake fish?
Yeah, I got other fish to fry, the dumb fish.
Oh, why don't you shut up, lake fish? Phil Henry Show. PhilHenryShow.com. Produced by Jason Rance, Technical Director Charles Wagon, and our Associate Producer Dan Northcraft. See you on Sunday night. Sunday night, Phil.
Phil Henry.